Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, JonesWalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Because you live in New Orleans, there's a good chance you know something about construction. Whether you had to rebuild totally after Katrina, or you just put in a new bathroom, you'll know there are hundreds of decisions that you have to make and a seemingly never-ending number of different people you need to coordinate, to say nothing of figuring out where the money is coming from and where it's all going to. Now imagine doing that times 1,000 or maybe 1,000,000. That's what happens when you put up an office building, a hotel, or some other piece of major construction. For some reason that we're about to find out, in a small office on Britannia Street in New Orleans, Scott Wolf figured out how to make this process way easier for everybody in the construction business across the U.S. A few short years ago, Scott started a company called Z-Lean. Today, Z-Lean has over 50 employees and over 16,000 customers in all 50 states. Scott, welcome out to lunch.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Now, while Scott was starting up his company and figuring out how to get people into buildings, Andrew Preble was starting out his company, which was figuring out how to get people out of buildings. We met Andrew here on Out to Lunch when he was launching what seemed like a crazy idea, a real-life version of a board and video game that he was calling Escape My Room. The concept is that you get locked in a room with a bunch of other people, and using clues that you find in the room, you figure out how to get out. Well, Andrew's crazy idea wasn't so crazy. Escape My Room has grown into a company called Delaport Ventures with 10 employees who design and build all aspects of Escape My Room. The game has moved into a second, bigger location, and it's hugely popular as a night out in New Orleans. Andrew, welcome out to lunch.
Thank you for having me again.
Scott, the concept of what you're doing at Z-Lean is deceptively simple. You're taking the enormous number of headaches out of construction by taking over all the paperwork that nobody wants to do. You keep projects compliant with relevant local permits, and as the name of the company suggests, you secure financing to the tune of $250 million a month. This business would be a big deal anywhere. It's something I'd expect to hear grew up in Manhattan or New Jersey. How did you get to be the first person in America to come up with this idea on Britannia Street in uptown New Orleans?
Well, interesting note, before I answer that question, I've never met Andrew before. I had no idea what he did. So I have a whole crew of people going to this business of yours tonight.
Oh, cool.
No way.
Yeah, they're going over there tonight to go play that game.
Yeah.
This never works out this well.
It's a strange coincidence. This is one of those businesses that it was a little bit of a happy coincidence how it all came together. There's a nice two-drink story behind how we wound up here. But I think the short answer, the concise answer, is that it's a really weird thing that we looked at doing, and a really nuanced thing. And it just so happens this particular nuanced thing has a lot of demand, and it touches a really, really sensitive and really expensive part of the construction process, which has led to its success. But it's a really complex product that we built.
Now, Scott, can you help me out with where it fits in the process? I'm a contractor. I decide to build a hotel in downtown New Orleans. Where are you in that part?
There's all this stuff in the back end, all the administrative stuff that people do in the offices. They don't do it out in the field of construction. They do it in the offices. And one of the major things is payment. Now, getting somebody paid when you're selling tennis shoes, let's say you're in the business of selling tennis shoes by the crate. Somebody calls you and says, I need 10,000 tennis shoes. And you send them 10,000 tennis shoes. And then you send them an invoice for it. And they pay the invoice. There's a whole industry around helping people do that. Construction is really a really perverted way of that particular process, because you have lenders hire an owner, getting a lender to give them money. The owner hires a general contractor. The general contractor hires a whole army of subcontractors. Those subcontractors hire subcontractors. They get their supplies from suppliers. They get their equipment from equipment people. And then the process of those people asking to get paid what they're owed, and then the process of those people paying those people is quite an affair. It's a convoluted process, and the fact of the matter is there's a lot of places for money to slip through the cracks, and that's a big pain point. And where that pain point manifests itself is that when money slips through the cracks, there's a bunch of positioning that happens from the people who are looking to be paid and the people who need to pay. And those parties have a lot of risk because the dollar amounts that slip through the cracks are usually very high dollar amounts. You know, frequently, it's funny, we have people come into our office who are, we have a number of employees, and sometimes they are young people. And they'll be working on these projects and they'll see things come across the desk like an $800,000 claim or a $4 million claim. And it's serious dollars. So when you have a really messy process and that messy process has such a consequential dollar amount associated with it, there's a lot of benefits to making that process better. And there's a lot of opportunity there, and that's where we live. We live in the opportunity of making that risk, of minimizing that risk for all the people who are involved.
Now, Andrew, you told us last time you were on the show that you'd come back from Berlin, where you'd opened a New Orleans-style restaurant without at the time knowing much about Berlin or restaurants. You came back for a visit and decided to stay because you thought there was a great opportunity to open this gaming experience, Escape My Room. At the time, I thought you were a smart guy who would end up doing something interesting, but I thought it would be probably the next thing after this idea. Then I started hearing from all kinds of different people who had been to the room, giving it rave reviews. Chris Kehoe, one of the tech guys here at INO Broadcasting, said, and I quote, "It was probably the best night of my life." Now, this might mean Chris needs to get out more.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But Andrew, what exactly is it that you've captured here that makes being locked in a room such a successful business?
Yeah, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but I can make some guesses. And I think, so first of all, escape rooms were not my idea. It was an idea that started in Asia or perhaps even Eastern Europe. And then jumped across the pond at some point, and maybe just about 3 years ago, they came to the United States and North America, and I had heard about them and was intrigued, but had never been to one of these because there weren't any nearby New Orleans, and I thought, you know, this actually sounds like a really cool idea. I grew up playing video games as a kid and these point-and-click adventure video games. I thought, how cool would that be if you could build this space that is like a game, but in the physical sense, and you get to play it with your friends, and you get to experience everything in real time and with real people and real objects. And
I was going to ask you, Andrew, is that you've got 10 employees.
Yeah.
When I go there, I couldn't quite figure out, what do they do? Are they?
Yeah, so, and those are full and part-time employees, but we have, so every time you go into the room, we have people watching you, and we have two rooms open right now, and so that means we have two people there.
Okay.
Welcoming you into the experience and then putting you in the room and watching you while you're in the room from another, from our command center. They're not in the room physically with you, but
and they also design, which is
yeah. They also help design the rooms, and we have two. I think we'll eventually have six rooms in this location, but the third room now that's being designed is an inventor's attic, and they're a big part in that, in planning all of the puzzles and the look and the feel of the experience too. So.
You know, you're getting such great reviews and all, but how do you measure success of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a hard question too. It's we want everybody to have a good time that comes through. So and we are very family friendly, and we look at our online reviews constantly and see what people are saying. We solicit feedback from people after every time they've come through. We send everybody an email no matter what and say, if there's any problem, let us know. And if you like the experience, and please let us know as well. And
and in terms of more traditional kind of success measures, are you? You're pretty booked.
We're booked. I mean, we have money coming in, so that's good. You know, I'm not great with accounting. I failed the class, I think, 2 or 3 times before dropping out of business.
That's going to be so encouraging
altogether.
To people.
Yeah, but we have a good accountant, and I just recently was accepted into the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program.
Oh, terrific.
So
that's great.
That orientation is tomorrow for
wow.
that. So hopefully I'll learn a little bit more about business and how to measure success in more.
I've spoken over there.
Terms,
you're going to be the fun guy in the room. That's going to be great. So. Now, Scott, you've got Andrew trying to create surprises in a building, and you're trying to create no surprises in a building. Beyond New Orleans, did you get started here and then push the business out, or how did it work?
Beyond New Orleans, interestingly, we're here in New Orleans. That's where our office is. That's where we have operations. But our customer base is not here at all. We never really had a groundswell of customers in a particular place. If I had to guess if I thought about where our customers were, they're probably in California, mostly Texas, New York, Florida, kind of in relation to the demographics. We have Louisiana users, but this particular business is not one that we had to go pound the pavement in the traditional respects and build up a clientele here in this city. It's a web-based business, it's a SaaS business, and its clientele is everywhere. As if it was a, you know.
But I have to ask you about one question.
Yep.
I love the term of one of your products, the lean genome.
Yes.
What is that? I know what the DNA genome is, so what is this?
When you're in construction, everybody on the project, every party on the project has to interact in the course of making requests for payment and making payments. They have to interact with lien compliance. And it is different depending on where they are, what they're doing, what kind of work they're doing, how far removed they are from the owner. And what the lien genome is pretty much having mapped out that policy engine. We mapped out all those differences so that a company, like an example of a company who may use us, there's a ThyssenKrupp Elevators. ThyssenKrupp Elevators starts projects on like 60,000 elevators across the country every year. And what we would do is we would take those projects, we'd take the record of those projects and map it to all those, one thing we would do for them is map it to all those compliance items. And then we would take the actions that are needed to be taken for them to stay compliant. So we tell them what the sales tax is, and then we file their sales tax returns. And so we're doing the same thing for them through all across the portfolio.
I would assume this is the part of the business they hated anyway, right?
Oh, nobody likes this at all.
That's always where the money is.
You don't really fight away people with sticks in the building saying, I want to do this. I want to do this work more, please. Don't take it off my plate.
Now, Scott and Andrew, it's the part of the show we call your brother-in-law. Picture this, you're taking a rare day off from work, relaxing when your phone rings. It's your brother-in-law. Normally, he only calls when he wants to stop by for dinner, but this time, things are a little different. He needs some advice. Now, Andrew, your brother-in-law tells you he's got a great idea based on Escape My Room. It's called Submarine Shipwreck. It's basically the same as Escape My Room, except people are submerged in a tank in the aquarium, and an audience can watch them try and get out. Are you up for partnering with them?
I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in cool, creative ideas, so I'd love to talk to them more. And the challenge, if people are watching you play it, then they may know the secrets then in the room, and it may be hard to have people want to play it if they already know what's going to happen in that sort of space.
You
so that's where I would say, need some work.
I was thinking about this when I thought of the submarine. I thought back at your Escape My Room. Can people come back again? Does it change over time?
No, so the individual rooms, they change slightly as we refine them, but... But basically, they don't, and so
would they still enjoy it a second time?
Yeah, we've had people who have come a second time, and either on accident or they didn't realize they had played it before. I don't know. Someone.
I was just escaping from someone's home. I didn't realize.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, who knows? But and they've still had a good time. I mean, I think it depends. We don't encourage anybody to come a second time to the same room, and that's why we've opened multiple rooms. And eventually, we'll switch out the oldest rooms so that if people do want to, if people have come every 2 months or 3 months, and they can always have a new experience that they can
and
play.
We'll tell your brother-in-law to swap out submarines every once in a while. This
sure.
Now, Scott, your brother-in-law says he's heard about a great opportunity. There's a couple of Russian guys in New Jersey who have got deals to supply cement to a bunch of huge construction projects on the East Coast. They're looking for a partner. He can buy in for $200,000. He wants to know if you'd meet the Russian guys and see what you think and maybe go in with them. What do you tell them?
You know my brother-in-law.
Way too realistic. No.
I would tell him absolutely not.
Okay.
That's not my jam. I don't necessarily like
things that seem
concrete.
Oh yes.
To use the term in two different ways. So what I really like about our business, is I like that where we have a product. I like that we have it's a scalable product that you can build a corporation around it. Those types of businesses I'm not really a big fan of.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. My guests are Scott Wolf from the phenomenally successful construction industry support business, Z-Lean, and Andrew Preble from the equally phenomenally successful live game experience, Escape My Room. Now, Andrew, every time I hear about what you're doing, I keep thinking it would be really good for corporations to, those kind of team-building organizations. You ever get those?
Sure, and that's a... That's a big and growing part of our business, certainly. And as we add more rooms, more people can come all at the same time. I think that's been the holdup in the past with each room can only hold 8 people, and they're in there at least an hour, and then in the whole experience for an hour and a half. So, teams or requests that we've gotten are usually bigger than 8 people. And so if they all want to come at the same time on the same day, then it's hard to accommodate a group of 60 people coming. But over the summer, I think, I'm not sure how many we've had now, but I think over 300 or 400 Home Depot managers from all around the area have come. Who knew there were so many Home Depots and Home Depot managers, but they've
all had
they've
those
come,
orange smocks. It was great.
And they've come and brought people, I think it was almost every week this summer, there was a new, a new group of people coming through. And
is that kind of what yours is for? Is it,
yeah,
Scott?
It's a team building.
No, and it's a
so
fun.
So we have to see if they still like each other tomorrow.
I guess so.
Yeah, no, it's a really, it's a, you're in this experience together. It's way more interactive than a movie or, even just going to a bar, is something to do, but then you don't have something you're trying to accomplish. And so since you're in this room, you're locked in this room all together, you have something to accomplish. It's really a bond, bonds do form, and we have an open ticketing policy so that if you only buy 2 tickets, there's a chance other people could be paired with you in the room. And it for the most part, it works out fine. And those people do even walk away as friends because they've now had this shared experience of working together.
What I would do? I would use it as a way to interview people, watch them. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, idea. I mean, I think McKinsey does that already, probably, or the State Department. But
State Department.
When you're hiring people, you come up with different ways to test certain competencies. I mean, that's if you're doing a good job hiring people, you're coming up with competencies of what you need, and then you're figuring out ways to test and judge it objectively. And there's a lot of competencies that I didn't think about it in the way you're suggesting, but it's a good idea if you're looking for people who are resourceful, people who could be jacks of all trades.
Another thing we found, too, was that it was a nice equalizer in terms of teams. So the boss didn't necessarily do any better than the employees. And so that was just a nice way of telling everybody on the team that they're all important in this machine of being on a team.
I would have been that guy that said, "No, boss, I never would have thought of that." Try to schmooze the guy on the thing.
So you'd have been the weasel.
Yeah, the weasel in that thing. And Scott, the more I hear about your business, I just wonder how big it can get. I mean, it seems, frankly, it's just so scalable.
Yeah, it's a, you know, we have a lot of really high hopes for the business. We're very optimistic about how big it can get. We're not the only person at the construction payment party game. There's Oracle just bought a company that does something that's in a very, very similar space as ours for $800 million a couple months ago. And so when we saw that, we, you know, not only for construction technology in general, we were very happy to see the merger, the M&A activity around construction tech in general, but then for it to be right in our lane.
If you've listened to the show over the past few years, you'll know there's no shortage of ideas in New Orleans for startup businesses. Now, not all of these great ideas succeed. Scott and Andrew, not only are the ideas for your respective businesses among the most uniquely original we've heard, they're also amongst the most successful. It's been really informative and fun learning about what you're up to. We wish you continued success and look forward to keeping up with both of you. Thank you both for taking the time to join me today and Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Scott Wolf, Chief Executive Officer of Zeline, and Andrew Preble, founder and owner of Delaport Ventures and Escape My Room. You can find out more about Scott's liens and Andrew's escapes by following the links on our websites, itsneworleans.com and wwno.org. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our researcher is Matthew Ellefson. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. Mitch's music can be found wherever great jazz is streamed or stolen, and at mitchellforeman.com. You can get the show as a podcast, you can listen to past shows, and you can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we look like, and Scott is wearing a t-shirt with a big Z on it, you're going to want to see this. You can find photos from the show on our website and Facebook page. The photos were taken today by Allison Moon. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricciuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Commander's Palace for more business New Orleans style on Out to Lunch.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.